There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name is Jamie Loftus.
My name is Caitlin Durante.
And this is our little podcast about the representation of women intersectionally in movies. Today, we are unlocking an episode from our Matreon, aka Patreon, aka Matreon. Mm-hmm. It's an episode about the movie 9 to 5 with a guest slash our producer, Sophie Lichterman.
Woo.
And the reason we are unlocking this episode is because I am releasing a podcast for the next 2 months, every Monday, called ACCast, which is all about the Kathy comics by Kathy Geiswhite. Mm-hmm. I am very excited.
Same.
It was also produced by Sophie Lichterman, and it's kind of just a look back at those comics. I think that they're very generally misunderstood and mischaracterized as being anti-feminist or somehow regressive, when I've read every single one and there's a lot of really good stuff in there. It ran for almost 35 years. Mm-hmm. And
that's how old I am.
It's literally, well, it's not as old. It's because it ended 10 years ago, but you know, it ran for a long time, and
yeah.
and it grew and changed a lot with the times, much like you, Caitlin.
Thank you.
And I think it is, like, I truly have been fully red-pilled by Kathy comics. I think that they're a really interesting gateway to discussion. So the show starts by talking about what happens in the comics and the common misconceptions around it. I interview Kathy Geiswhite, who made the comics every day for 35 years. And then it kind of takes a turn into talking about how the comic comments on the kind of jagged progression of feminism in America during the times that it was coming out, which we talk about all the time on this show. But it's a very, like, day-by-day chronicle, so it's really interesting. There's an episode that is about how it comments on diet culture and the pressures to conform to conventional beauty standards, and how that is a ridiculous expectation, thus ACC. There's a lot of commentary on consumerism. There's a lot of stuff about how American men kind of interpreted the gains that women made during these years. And there's just a lot of interesting stuff. It is an imperfect comic for sure. And I try to kind of fill in the blanks of what it's not referencing and not discussing. And there's a lot of interviews with artists. I interviewed 15 boomer moms about their experiences and lives. And there's a whole episode about boomers as well. So nice. I hope you listen to it. It's called ACCast because Kathy says ACC a lot. It is spelled A-A-C-K cast. Or you can just search my name, Jamie Loftus, and it will also pop up.
Amazing.
The first episode came out June 28th, and the rest of the episodes are going to be coming out on Mondays. And so that is why we are releasing 9 to 5, an 80s working girl, deeply flawed classic. Mm. That's my little spiel.
I love it. And I'm very excited to listen. At the time that we're recording this, it has not come out yet.
It has not come out yet.
Just so you know, listeners.
A little peek behind the curtain.
Yay, awesome. So with that in mind, because this is a Matreon episode, mm-hmm. we didn't do the, you know, our general show intro. So mm-hmm. real quick, this is our podcast in which we examine movies through an intersectional feminist lens. We use the Bechdel test simply as a jumping off point. That, of course, is a media metric mm-hmm. created by Alison Bechdel,
who I talk about quite a bit in the Kathy podcast.
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
Because she kind of, like, you know, provided the queer perspective that was never represented in the funny pages of the newspaper in the 80s. They're sorry. It all goes back to Kathy, baby.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. So it's, of course, a media metric in which this is our rendition on the Bechdel test. Two people of any marginalized gender mm-hmm. must have names. They must speak to each other about something other than a man. And ideally, for our purposes, it's a meaningful, narratively significant conversation. The bar, we keep raising the bar, basically.
And also, according to recent iTunes reviews we've been fielding, we got a 1-star review because someone didn't like the Bechdel test and had never listened to our show, and also didn't seem to know what the Bechdel test was. What a nightmare. Mm-hmm. We're unlocking this episode from our Matreon. This episode was recorded in when was it?
It was sometime in 2019.
Okay. And so we just wanted to acknowledge that in this episode, this was prior to us getting more educated on ableist language as it pertains to mental illness. And so we just wanted to do mm-hmm. a quick trigger warning that those words such as crazy, stupid, etc. do appear in this episode. We've talked about this many times on the show before, and we'll also include links in this episode as well, because we always want to mm-hmm. make sure that we're acknowledging that further stigmatizes mental illness in many, many ways. And it's something mm-hmm. that we have completely phased out of the show and out of our own vocabulary. And we're always encouraging our listeners to learn more and to make an active effort to do so yourself. Know better, do better. Links in the description, baby.
I mean, speaking of learning and growing, am uh-huh. I right?
I mean. And this episode is like a little more informal in tone because it appeared on our Matreon. If mm-hmm. this more kind of kickback feel to an episode is fun for you, check it out. It's at patreon.com/Bechdelcast. We post two bonus episodes around a theme each and every month. I think, what was the companion movie to?
Working Girl.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we did like Working Girl
November, I think.
Or something. Like, something like that. So that's where we choose ridiculous themes and actually follow through on them. So good for us.
Mm-hmm. Good for us. Amazing.
It's currently the third Portman July, I think.
So with that, enjoy this unlocked episode on 9 to 5.
Woo!
The Bechdel cast. Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
Hi, matrons. It's us.
We're in the studio this time.
Yeah, this is actually, it's kind of fucking with me because it feels so formal, and yet it's not because it's the Matreon.
It is.
Usually we do this in a bed.
Right, my bed.
Yes.
And usually we're horizontal.
Yes.
Just lying down all, you know,
would've
covered
just
up.
Just had lunch usually. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really charmed life we're living right now. But today we really took it upon ourselves to leave Caitlin's house. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Well, here we are in the studio.
But we're going to keep it loose.
We're going to keep it loose. Here's the thing. The reason that we're in the studio is that we have a guest this time on on our Matreon episode.
Ever heard of it?
No. She is a friend of ours. She is the mother of Anderson the dog, and she works 9 to 5 at iHeartRadio as a producer of podcasts,
including
the Bechdel cast. It's Sophie Lichterman.
Ever heard of it?
Wowie.
Hi, guys.
Hi, thanks for being here.
Hey, I'm so nervous.
Don't be nervous.
No,
you're
I think
be
she
great.
Should be nervous.
Yeah, we're mean.
I think that, yeah, we're. I think we've really proven ourselves to be untenable.
Well, I just know that if I fuck it up, you're going
to
fire me.
Well, you said fuck. You have to. Sorry, we are only non-swearing.
You have to pay us $3.
Here's my money. And also, fuck that.
Wow. Okay. And she's off.
Aggressively cursing 1 minute in.
I don't think we've ever had a guest incriminate themselves really quite this fast.
Yeah,
but
I aim to please.
There has to be a first one.
I aim to please, guys.
Hi. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, so we're talking about 9 to 5.
Yeah. It's a classic.
Classic. And it's one of your favorite movies, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, it really just describes my ethos.
Good.
Yeah. I'm a huge Fonda fan. Mm. And who doesn't love Lily and who doesn't love Dolly? Just like a great trifecta.
It truly is.
So when did you first see this movie?
I first saw it with my mom. I don't remember exactly. It's been a while. I've probably seen this movie like 10 times. It's one of my faves. Mm-hmm. It's my ringtone.
Good. You are currently wearing a 9 to 5 shirt.
And as one does for a 9 to 5 podcast.
Of course. Mm-hmm. And then you're also sporting a 9 to 5 sticker on your laptop.
Yeah, it's mostly just like a Jedi mind trick for one Jack O'Brien.
Oh, okay.
Who has not seen 9 to 5, so does not understand any of my passive-aggressive 9 to 5 jokes.
He kept... So we all just watched it together in the studio, and he kept turning around being like, is this an action movie? Because he would, like, turn around during that scene where, like, Jane Fonda is, like, chasing Hart with a gun, or,
so
like,
exciting.
When they're, like...
Dolly with the lasso.
You're just like, in a way it is.
It's, I mean, a romp,
has
for
dimensions,
sure.
Okay?
Tell me about a romp. Caitlin, what's your history with this movie?
My herstory
your
with
your
this?
Your herstory.
I didn't grow up with this movie. I didn't see it for the first time until probably like a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. I've seen it a couple times in that span of time. And I remember the first chunk of it very well and the last chunk of it very well. And then I never remember what happens in the middle because it just gets so wild and like
fast paced and like things happen that you're like,
that
what?
I was absolutely not expecting to happen. So I don't know what happens to my brain, but I never remember until I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot how wild this movie gets. But you know, it's a fun romp and I can't wait to sure talk is. About it. Jamie, what about you?
This is my first time seeing this movie somehow. I don't
really
know. Yeah, I don't know why, because it's so thoroughly up my alley. And I've been a Jane Fonda stan for a long time. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't realize that this was how Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, like, first got tight. Because I'm a Grace and Frankie stan, seen every episode multiple times. Yeah, no, it was good to go back and see. And this movie, like, I mean, I think in most regards, like, really holds up in a way that's like almost kind of depressing because you're just like, oh yeah, these are all still the same things.
When I say yeah, I'm also like same crying things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's really funny and like really well done, and I as Caitlin said, a romp and a half.
I mean, who's great. Not a Fonda fan at this moment? I mean, she's good chance right now you're listening to it, Jane Fonda just got arrested.
She just got arrested for standing up for the environment. She's like truly like one of the like shining Hollywood examples of like using your privilege for good.
Yeah.
And like backing it up.
That Jane Fonda arrest photo, I definitely have a t-shirt with that on, but it's like one of my favorite, like,
which arrest?
The one when she had the clute bangs, you know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah. I definitely have a sweatshirt with that on it.
And oh, that's cool.
That story is super interesting too. Why she got arrested.
Was that when she was doing Vietnam War protesting?
Yeah, and then the government was like, oh, she has drugs, and she's like, you literally just don't want me making any more like protest speech. These are vitamins.
I mean, she was absolutely like dragged and abused by the media and by fucking everyone for like decades and decades and decades. She is the best.
Yeah, Jane Fonda appreciation, 100%.
If you haven't seen that HBO documentary, please. Time to grow up.
I gotta watch it still. So
sorry, I didn't realize that was a call out.
Wow, Jamie.
Sorry. She also dated Ted Turner. You know, everyone contains multitudes. That's sometimes true. You date an evil billionaire, and it's fine. We don't know.
The first time I heard Jane Fonda's name was when my mom was fully roasting my dad for taking her aerobics class when I was,
really?
Yeah.
Your dad took Jane Fonda's aerobics class?
Yeah, they did like did like Jane Fonda's aerobics, and him and his friend would go, and my mom was like, yeah, your dad used to do like this, and I was like, who is this woman that is making my father do aerobics, and like, how do I meet her and laugh?
Whoa.
Yeah, amazing. That's my first Fonda sighting, you know?
Do you remember Carmen Electra's striptease workout? Because I definitely had those DVDs.
Oh, my God. No.
No? Googling? What?
We were a Richard Simmons family. Oh, thank sure. you very well, much. Well,
this wasn't a family thing that my whole
oh,
family
we
was
wouldn't
doing.
All do it together. Gather around the television. What if it was like my family did Richard Simmons?
Me as a solo artist who had broken away from my family.
Love it.
Doing Carmen Electra's striptease workout.
Oh, hell yeah. Did fun? You wear this outfit?
No.
Oh, man. Were they fun to do?
Just pretty fun, yeah.
I love workout videos.
She has like in everything, oh, and she's like angelic and has like this like.
I recognize these covers like early 2000s.
I like that in this one. She's doing it in front of a bed. I support that.
I used to watch the Fitness Channel really early in the morning before school. I used to do this workout with someone, this really buff guy named Gilad. And then he'd so be like, proud. It's called like Wake Up with Gilad. And then you'd just like walk around a lot. So and then cool. he'd be like, good job. And he was like Slovenian.
In that HBO documentary, didn't it say that Jane Fonda didn't get a single dime from those aerobics videos either? It was all like
Oh, I forget. I would have to fact check that. I think that does ring familiar. I mean, she like gives a lot away. She also there's all these recent pictures of her because she's gotten arrested multiple times for going to climate change protests.
Are you talking about the one where she's wearing the red jacket and her tongue is out? Because everything. I want that on a t-shirt, too.
You can tell, like, she's, like, getting dolled up, and she goes out in protest, and she gets arrested, and it's all very exciting.
Oh.
What a queen.
I mean, but
we
then
love
also,
her.
Like, Lily Tomlin is an icon. And they're all icons. Everyone's an icon.
Literally
Dolly,
all three of them.
Lily Tomlin, a queer icon. She's great. Dolly Parton is great.
Lily almost didn't do this movie. But
her wife
talked her into it because she had just gotten done with I forget what film and was like super fatigued and like had called and been like no sorry like I'm out of it and then her wife was like no you want to do this and she's like really glad she did
let's talk more about it shall we
let's do it.
The recap, if I may.
Please.
Oh, my God. Is that the format of the show?
Yeah.
I just want to, like, make sure.
Let's be totally clear.
Okay. So we're in New York City. Ever heard of it?
No.
Mm-mm.
Not once.
And Judy Burnley, that's Jane Fonda's character, mm-hmm. is recently divorced, and she has just gotten her first ever job at a big company called Consolidated. We meet Violet Newstead, that's Lily Tomlin. She shows Judy around. Judy meets Roz, mm-hmm. Who
is not the receptionist from Monsters, Inc.
Oh.
No.
but
kind of, but at the same time is.
Same energy.
Same energy has those I will kill you bangs.
Actually, I think, I don't know. I prefer Roz from Monsters, Inc. personally.
Yeah.
Oh, is that character's name also Roz?
Yeah.
Oh, I Isn't forgot that about that.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe that's homage.
Maybe
to 9 to 5.
I don't know. Who knows?
We can't. Who can say?
We can't go giving Pixar too much credit
for anything.
That's
true. But Roz is on Violet's case about something about the desk decorations,
dress code, all the
stuff
stupid
like that.
Crap that doesn't actually matter.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Judy meets her new boss, Mr. Hart, who sucks. He's a piece of shit. He's a sexist pig. We find that out right away. And then she also meets Dora Lee. That's Dolly Parton, Mr. Hart's assistant. And there's a rumor going around among the women in the office that Dora Lee is sleeping with Mr. Hart.
Lies.
It's lies. We find out what's really happening is that he's in love with her and he is sexually harassing her on the regular.
She's turning him down consistently and like in ways she shouldn't have to.
He says he's in love with her. It really is just like he's forcefully attacking her.
He's like exerting his power over her the way that, you know, many powerful men do.
Right. He offers her money. He's like ogling her. There's a lot of like POV shots of him, you know, like objectifying her.
Dropping pencils and just being
all the slimy things you
disgusting.
Would expect.
Disgusting. Right.
Yeah. But no one knows this truth quite yet.
Sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot.
That's Mr. Hart.
Love
so
that.
Judy gets started at the office. She's struggling a lot at first. There's this big Xerox machine mishap. And Mr. Hart yells at her and makes her feel like an idiot.
To be fair, he probably doesn't know how to use that shit.
He doesn't fucking
no
know at
fucking
all.
Way.
He doesn't know how to do anything.
If you haven't had a panic attack because of like office equipment, or have you even had a job?
I've been in tears over making copies before.
100%.
Yeah.
But she pretty quickly thinks.
I was like, whoa, I just went to a dark place for a second.
But Judy pretty quickly gets the hang of things, and Dora Lee is reaching out to her and trying to be friendly, but because Judy believes this rumor about Dora Lee sleeping with Mr. Hart, Judy brushes her off, and just generally no one is taking Dora Lee seriously. Meanwhile, Mr. Hart steals one of Violet's ideas about color-coding the accounts to improve efficiency, and he takes credit for it, but Violet doesn't do anything about it because she's up for this promotion and doesn't want to like ruffle any feathers. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that she does not get the promotion. Mr. Hart gave it to a man who Violet has 5 years seniority over.
And she trained.
She trained him.
So, this reminds me of so many stories that my aunt would tell me about like working for the government. Like it's just... That whole character just like exude. My aunt, like, I mean, I don't think she subscribes to the Matron, but she retired this year, mm-hmm. like early, because she was just like fucking done being passed over by losers named Marty who were like being promoted. It's just like,
Yeah, horrible.
It makes me mad.
And then Hart tells Violet that the company needs a man in this position and that clients would rather deal with a man when it comes to figures. And, you know, he gave the promotion to a man because he's got a family to support.
Which is still, like, used today to justify promotions all the time.
So frustrating.
Yeah.
And then Violet gives this great monologue about demanding respect and...
She's not his girl.
Right. Yeah. Love it.
Which I'm like, yeah, you're not.
And then it's also in this scene when Dora Lee comes in and finds out that Mr. Hart has been saying that he and Dora Lee have been having an affair, hence where that rumor came from.
Yeah.
Which infuriates her. And then we get another great monologue from Dora Lee, which ends with her.
To kill him.
She's
it's
like,
so good.
I will shoot your dick off if you ever step out of line again.
What's the line? It's like something about a
She's like,
rooster.
I'll turn you from a rooster to a hen. Something, something, something.
She threatens to castrate him. It's very, what is that? Lorena Bobbitt.
Yes.
Before Lorena Bobbitt was Lorena Bobbitt. Love it.
And Judy becomes enraged also when one of her colleagues gets fired for discussing her salary. So Judy, Violet, and Dora Lee all take the rest of the day off and they go get drunk. And then Judy's like, we got to do something about this. So they go to Dora Lee's house and they smoke some weed that Violet has that her son gave her.
Which is honestly one of the best mother-son interactions in a movie.
I loved that. I want to talk more about that.
He's like, listen, mom, get high.
It was great.
And she's like not thrilled about him smoking pot, but she's just like, your grandma would be so upset if she knew you were doing this. And then he's like, come on, like you just need to do it. And then she's like, leave it in my purse.
Because she's, like, she's not a regular mom.
She's cool.
She's a cool mom. Which is kind of cool because it's like there you said she's kind of set up as like the character who is like a little more like by the book and by the rules. And then you're like, oh, but she can fucking hang. Like,
she's fucking tight.
I like there like you get all these like little shades of like, I don't know, actual like people.
And her son has some of the best hair I've ever seen.
Oh my god, it's flipping right and left. You're like, who is your stylist? Refer me. So much volume.
True.
Yeah.
So they're getting high and they start fantasizing about getting back at Hart.
In like, these like extended sequences. Long. They're so long.
Yes.
And very satisfying.
This is where I always forget these things happen in the movie. Like this is the point where I'm like, oh, things get really wild. And then I just apparently black out because I never remember these parts of the movie. But Judy is fantasizing about hunting him down with a gun. Dorley fantasizes about like giving him a taste of his own like very harassy medicine. Violet fantasizes about poisoning him and then chucking him out of a window.
Yeah, it's some, and these are all like minimum 5 minutes long a piece. They're very extended sequence. Like I,
there's animation
prepared.
At one point.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes, that there's that Lily Tomlin scene where she's dressed up like Snow White, and you're like, sure,
she's
yeah.
Like,
you're like, and then you're like, is that her? Like it's so, right. I love it.
It's great. So they all go to work the next day, and Violet accidentally puts rat poison in Mr. Hart's coffee, thinking it's this sweetener.
It looks the same.
It looks, it's in the same box, essentially.
It's the same thing.
Same font. Can't be blamed.
But he doesn't drink it, but his chair that has been acting up throughout the whole movie does collapse out from under him, and then he hits his head and is knocked unconscious.
I love it.
And then Violet realizes what she's done, and she figures the reason that he collapsed was because he drank the poison. So she starts freaking out. They all rush to the hospital, and Violet overhears doctors talking about a guy who died from being poisoned, but she doesn't know they're talking about someone else. So Violet steals this man's body, thinking that it's Mr. Hart, loads it into her trunk, and then takes off with Dorley and Judy. But then Dorley discovers that the body is not Mr. Hart, so now they have to figure out like what to do with this random body. They get pulled over by the cops, and then they get out of that situation. They take it back to the hospital and then just leave the body there.
And then I love that scene.
It's great.
I love
it's
that
so
scene.
Good.
It's so good.
So funny.
She wants to give us an escort. And then she's like, see ya, bitch.
Oh, it's great. So they return to work the next day and pretend like everything is normal. Except everything is normal because Mr. Hart is there and he's fine. And then the women convene in the bathroom and talk about how he must not have drank the poison and they should just forget about the whole thing. But Roz, who is like the eyes and ears and the spy of
Snake.
Mr. Hart,
the bangs of the office.
Yes. She was hiding in one of the stalls in the bathroom and overhears everything. So she tells Mr. Hart all the stuff that she heard. So then Mr. Hart blackmails Dorley. He says if she comes to his house that evening, he'll forget the whole thing. But if she doesn't come over, he'll call the police and tell them that the three women tried to murder him. So Dorley is like, fuck you. She hog ties him, just like in her fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
like a boss, first of all.
Yeah. And then Judy points a gun at him, just like in her fantasy. And then they kidnap him and take him to his house. And then they're like, okay, what do we do now? They try to figure out if they can dig up any dirt on him to blackmail him. And they figure out that the Ajax account that he's been working on is completely fraudulent. But they can't prove it until they get the invoices from the company, which will take 4 to 6 weeks. So they have to keep him tied up in his home. Luckily, his wife is away.
His wife. And also his wife, who is like the sweetest woman. Oh. I thought she was lovely.
She's super nice.
She
stupid.
Was sweet and gullible.
Yes.
Also known as stupid.
Well, I kind of disagree on that. I thought that that was like a little subversion where I think usually when you see a boss's his wife, there's either no personality or she's like jealous. Like when she walked in to see like Dolly Parton's character, I thought she was going to be like, hello, Dorley, you know, because I feel like that's the easy choice.
Right.
Not saying that that's the most brilliant, inspired choice, but I was
Actually, take it back. She scammed her way into like a month long cruise.
Yeah. So she's actually a genius.
And she was like, oh, you want me to go stay at a nice hotel for another week? Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So I take back the stupid comment. She's just a scam goddess.
Yeah. She's basically Diva Lacey.
Yeah.
She's just Lacey.
She's Lacey Mosley.
Mm-hmm.
Also, listen to that podcast. It's really good.
Yes. Do it. So while he's tied up and away from the office for these several weeks, Judy, Dorley, and Violet make some positive changes around the office, including radical stuff, an equal pay policy.
Whoa!
They install a daycare center.
Oh!
And there's also like an alcoholic rehabilitation program.
Shout out drunk feminist icon Margaret.
Oh, I love Margaret.
My favorite.
She's always like, atta girl.
Yeah.
But then Hart finally manages to get loose and he covers his tracks with the Ajax account and he takes the three women into the office ready to call the police and rat them out. But just then, the chairman of the board, Mr. Tinsworthy,
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shows up and praises Mr. Hart for all of these positive changes that have been implemented
Look at all these original spices.
He's like, I just love this orange and yellow furniture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is great.
You're just like, yeah, sure.
And then Mr. Tinsworthy wants Hart to work with him in Brazil. So Hart leaves. They've gotten rid of him and they celebrate and they're like, woo. And that's the end of the movie. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come right back.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back.
So there's a lot to talk about with this.
Oh boy. This is a fun chat.
Yes.
I feel like maybe for this movie, it might even be best to start with like a little bit of the history behind how this movie.
Yeah.
How this movie exists, why this movie exists. It's like, I think for this time, you can kind of trace a lot of successful female-driven comedies back to this movie as kind mm-hmm. of like the golden standard that women want to see themselves reflected on screen. And we will get into the whiteness of the mm-hmm. women that we see mm-hmm. reflected on screen. But just to kind of start, I mean, I don't think that you wouldn't have Working Girl without this movie.
No, true.
You wouldn't have The First Wives Club without mm-hmm. this movie. It's just like a lot of this definitely got a trend started because it was so successful. This movie made its budget back 10 times. It had a $10 million budget, made over $100 million. at the box office. What is it? 20th highest grossing comedy film of all time.
It was the second highest grossing film of that year, 1980, right behind the Star Wars movie of that year.
Ever heard of the Star Wars Strikes Back? Like, it's fuck, like, it's huge that this movie did
this movie
well.
That starred three women without like an actual romance storyline too, which is amazing.
It's I mean, it's a feminist text. It's for white feminism, but it's like
it's flawed feminism.
It's flawed feminism. It's you know, a narrow scope of feminism.
White second wave.
It's like have friends at work.
But it's definitely like a touchstone in like making room for more 100% thoughtful and inclusive texts.
Right. I mean, what other movies around this time, or even since then, because there haven't been that many, but are about like a group of women who are fed up with their sexist boss and then like take him down and then also implement positive changes in their workplace.
They like low-key almost unionized.
Right.
But I feel I would imagine that they got like studio notes of like, well, don't be too explicit about the unionization stuff. But so, that's pretty much what they do.
Right. Yeah.
They just aren't allowed to say it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, there's like there's a lot of cool stuff. And I think that it wasn't – so this was like Dolly Parton's first starring vehicle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sophie, you were mentioning
favorite fact about this movie is that Dolly Parton negotiated in her first movie contract that she would not do the movie unless she did the theme song, which is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Amazing.
She's like, listen, Jane, I'll do your little movie.
And this song fucking slaps.
It's my ringtone.
A number one hit. Like, oh, so it's good. Still a and like the, well, I'll take us through the lyrics in a bit because they're radical lyrics. Also, Jane Fonda's production company was the company that produced this movie. Jane Fonda was very much a driving force behind getting this movie made, which, as we know today, still that like someone using their clout to get a movie like this made is kind of like one of the only ways to do it is to have a powerful person strongly advocating for it. And as it sounds like Jane Fonda did during the writing process of this movie, like really let the writers go the way that they wanted to go and make a cool, like, and just gave them room. And the fact that it fucking worked is so like it's exciting that this, you know, movie got a lot of, you know, for the mistakes it makes, it made a lot of progress and space.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
It makes me happy.
It's a pleasant watch.
It's very pleasant. It's very fun. It's directed by a queer director, queer icon Colin Higgins, who is perhaps most famous for writing Harold and Maude.
Okay.
But he also wrote, he continued to work with Dolly Parton after this. He also wrote The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
and he
so cool.
directed it as well. And so he co-wrote and directed 9 to 5. He is, I mean, he's like a lot of people, I guess like Judd Apatow frequently cites him as an influence, which we can't hold against him. And then he passed away at 47 due to AIDS complications.
Oh, man.
So he had like a brief but like incredible life, like made these three extremely iconic
movies.
Yeah,
super impactful.
And then his co-writer, her name's Patricia Resnick. Mm-hmm. She's still a working writer today. Mm. She started out working with Robert Altman and continued to write her own features after working on Three Women, which I've never seen.
Oh, me either.
But imagine three women in a movie? Like, I don't understand. So because, you know, she worked on Three Women, she's like, now I have an idea for Three Women and 9 to 5.
Wow.
No, but she wrote it as a drama. And then Jane Fonda read it and was like, oh, I like this story, but I think it should be a comedy. And then Colin Higgins came in, did a rewrite. And then they bullied Lily Tomlin into joining. And
thank goodness they did.
Yeah.
It's like there's a cool – it seems like the collaborative process of this movie was cool. And it was mostly driven by women and queer people.
Awesome.
Which is great.
Yay.
Woohoo.
Helpful context, as always, Jamie. Thank you so much.
Woohoo!
Let's get into the story, the characters.
Sure.
So we've got three iconic characters here, and they're all up against this, like, shitty, horrible, sexist boss
Mr. Hart.
Something I liked about the Mr. Hart character, I mean, there's nothing to like about it, but the way he was written was, I feel like we have talked about this on the Matreon specifically a lot, but just when there are villains who are abusive to women that are so overdone that like male audience members couldn't see themselves in them at all, which kind of just removes like, well, what's the point of doing it?
Right.
But I don't think that they did. I feel like this is like, I mean, some of it's kind of like played over the top because it's a comedy,
right.
But I feel like the things that he does are so recognizable. And I'm sure that like if a man in like a 1980 audience, they, you know, he could see his own behavior in that.
Definitely.
But I mean, I did like that there seemed to be some care into like making him a character that hopefully, you know, a man could be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, like, just like also like a really good actor, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that actor.
Dabney Coleman.
Such a good job with this.
Yeah.
But yeah, like some of the things that Mr. Hart does, like right off the bat, that clue us into him being a sexist pig, but are, Jamie, as you're saying, familiar enough that like these things have all been said to us and all women. He tells Judy right when he first meets her that she's pretty, and then he comments on other women's looks in the office, saying how he doesn't find many of them to be attractive, and then he goes, right, Violet? And she just like gives him the stink eye. But
I feel like it's like subtly implied, like it not, or not even subtly, but it's implied that he's, part of the reason he's not promoting her is because he has no sexual interest in her.
Oh, right.
And like that.
But is also like really okay with taking credit for all of her ideas.
Oh, takes all of her ideas.
All of her ideas.
Yeah.
That's one of the first things we see him do too, with the color coding.
Yeah. He's like, oh no, I'll have to like read more about this. And then in the next scene, he has taken it to his boss.
His boss.
and his boss is like, oh wow, this is great. Like, good job. And another very realistic thing happens where Violet sees this happening right in front of her. She's like, he just stole my idea and took credit for it. But because she is up for a promotion, she can't do anything about it. And this is such a familiar situation for women because, like, if we try to speak out or stand up for ourselves, we're seen as being difficult. And then, you know, we get fired.
Yeah, you can't really, it's really hard to advocate for yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's, I mean, it was really, really, really well done where, yeah, you can just like, sort of, it's like so well acted by Lily Tomlin too, where you just see her like choosing her battles in real time.
You see it in her face.
Yeah.
She doesn't even have to say it's, it's a bummer.
And that's like a thing that, has happened to all of us at some point.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Happens all the time. And is like, I don't know, like the movie kind of plays it smart and shows so many subtle things that build up that is like every woman who's ever worked in an office or really just existed in the world can relate with.
He also like, he's like, oh, I want to buy my wife something. Violet, go shopping. And she's like, that's not in my job description. I'm not going to shop for you. And then he like interrupts her and he's like, oh, you need to be a team player. Ugh. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I definitely got asked to go pick up a old boss is like tailored pants from Nordstrom in the middle of the day once.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
for
like,
why?
It's like, where is that in my, like, no.
Low key, 2 weeks ago, a male director sent me out to get him coffee. I'm like, I'm your head writer. Like, what are you talking
about?
Like, you know? Like, it's just like, it's fucking infuriating.
It's like, where in my job description did you see lackey? Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, no, it's
And it's literally 2 weeks, so 2019. Great. So yeah, glad we progressed.
Yeah,
so
just a fortnight ago. Yeah, this happened right here in Los Angeles, California.
Ever heard of it?
Heard of it.
So Violet, toward the beginning of the movie, she talks about how rapidly Hart like rose up the ranks, like climbed the corporate ladder, and she's like, I remember when he was a management trainee. In fact, I'm the one who trained him. Meanwhile, she's been there for 12 years. She does seem to have some
she's the senior supervising person,
but it seems like she's so qualified and so capable and could be
underpaid, underappreciated,
exactly. But because she's a woman, and this gets pretty explicitly stated by
heart in that conversation when he tells her that she didn't get the promotion. And there's the whole thing about like, well, you know, he's a man and he's got a family to support. And she's like, I have four kids, but, you know, there's, you know, the societal expectation of like men needing to be the provider. So they're more worthy of more money. And it's so frustrating.
And doing the same job is somehow harder for them than it is for a woman. That was I like literally couldn't stop thinking about my aunt. I was like getting so mad because you just see those little things of like your trainee being promoted above you and mm-hmm. like you're not allowed to say anything about it, or just these fucking losers just hurtling over you because they can. And no, like even when men recognize in the office that it's wrong, they don't say anything.
They just let it happen. Their names get put on projects. Don't even.
They want to get their name. They want to hurdle over you too. Yeah. Like it's just
even the ones that like you think are on your side, and then you're like, oh wait, you're slowly doing the things that
you're like
every other man does.
Or yeah. I mean, like all those workplace situations where you're like, well, that man wasn't explicitly horrible to me, so I guess he's good. But it's like, but he would sit through me getting harassed or like being treated like shit, and I guess because he didn't do it himself, I'm not mad. Like it's just
listeners, you couldn't see it, but all three of us just eye rolled in unison.
Something I really liked with Lily Tomlin's character is you see, we'll talk about her relationship with her son as well, but like you see her, it's like that second shift mentality, which I feel like comes up in a lot of like second wave feminism mm-hmm. stuff because it was so focused on women in the workplace. But you see there's like that great shot of her talking on the phone, checking in on things at home while also doing five things mm-hmm. at work at once. And it's just like she's doing it all deftly and capably, and you're like, she shouldn't have to do this. Yeah, none of the men in this office are calling to make sure that they're kids are getting places on time and all this stuff.
No, they can't do anything. They're like, go get me a cup of coffee. Go get me like gifts for my wife. They delegate tasks that no one should be doing at work to like these capable women who should be spending time doing something else. But he's like, go shopping for me because women be shopping, right? Mm-hmm.
It's really frustrating.
Be shopping.
Yeah. And the Violet, I don't know. Violet's like, they're all three of them are amazing characters. I was also like pleasantly surprised by, I don't know, like the three main characters are all they have very distinct personalities. Mm-hmm. They have very different approaches to the same, I mean, which you can tell in the minutes long fantasy sequences, they have different approaches to how they would kill this man. But I liked that amazing scene where you get a Lily Tomlin monologue and then a Dolly Parton monologue back to back.
So good.
Where Lily Tomlin is, hold on, I think I've got.
Don't call me your girl.
Right. I'm no girl. I'm a woman. Do you hear me? I'm not your wife, thank God, or your mother. But then she turns to Doralee and says,
or your mistress.
Right. So we all know that is inaccurate,
fabricated,
petty, wrong. But you see this moment where like Violet clearly fucks up and mm-hmm. gets it wrong. And then Doralee comes to her own defense and is like, wait, is that what people think is going on?
Yeah.
And immediately Violet believes her. It's not a question of like women are not believing women mm-hmm. in this movie. So I kind of liked that there was an example of a female character fucking up and then course correcting immediately mm-hmm. and like siding with her female coworker, and then they all band together. And yeah, that was, I mean, and then Dolly Parton's monologue together. It's so fucking great. Yeah. Like scene is incredible.
They're like, first of all, I'm going home. Second of all, we're going to go get a drink. Third of all, then we're going to get high and plan how to kill our boss.
And then Lily Tomlin also uses that phrase, pink collar ghetto, at the bar, which I thought was like, again, just like one of those things where I'm like, oh my God, that phrase still comes up mm-hmm. all the time. So like the pink collar, I don't know if she was using it in the exact same context, but like pink collar jobs, there's been like a lot of, I don't know, I went through a phase where I was reading a lot about mm-hmm. it. Basically jobs that are given majority to women and the benefits and pay are not fair.
Right.
And so like the most recent example where like pink collar will pop up a lot is social media jobs mm-hmm. where the majority of people mm-hmm. in those positions are women. women. They're not paid enough. They're not given enough benefits. Sometimes it's just a contract job, even when it shouldn't be. And that's like another example of just like, I mean, and for a long time, like teaching was a pink collar job where like no one was getting paid enough. And even now it's like my mom has to buy her own school supplies for her own classroom, which is fucking
wild,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Whenever you see a teacher doing a fundraiser, fucking give all of your money to it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought that that was cool that like that phrase that is like still a buzzy phrase right now is like comes up to, I don't know. This movie's great.
This movie definitely has such relevance in today's time with everything going on.
I wish it didn't.
Yeah, right. No, it's like this movie was came out in 1980. It's 2019 and it's like, yeah,
almost 40 years ago.
It's like, that really, it's like,
I'm
wow.
like, wow, we haven't really solved literally one of these problems. Like, no, not one.
Everything stays the same.
Yeah, yeah. It's
man.
Dare I say, fucked up.
Oh,
dare I
say. Wow. There you go again. You owe us $3 more.
It's worth it.
Put it in the swear
worth
jar.
Worth every penny.
But yeah, oh, Jamie, you were starting to talk about that. The like the monologue that Dora Lee gives where she is like yelling at Hart and like saying, I've like, you've sexually harassed me for the last time, I'm gonna shoot your dick off if you do it again, like I wish I had the actual text in front of me because it's so good.
The
Rooster
Hen. I've got it. Phenomenal writing.
Yes. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Please.
Okay. Get your scummy hands off me. Look, I've been straight with you since the first day I got here. And I've put up, I feel like I should raise my voice an octave.
And do an accent?
Right. It would be so, it would be mean to Dolly Parton. I'm not going to do
That's
it.
That's fair. Nobody can emulate Dolly.
No, I'm not going to try it. But and I've put up with all your groping and ogling and hollow apologies and chasing me around the desk because I need this job. But this is the last straw. Look, I've got a gun out there in my purse. And up to now, I've been forgiving and forgetting because of the way I was brought up. But I'll tell you one thing. If you ever say another word about me or make another indecent proposal, I'm going to get that gun of mine and I'm going to change you from a bishop to a rabbi with one shot. And then you're just like, oh, my God. Mm. It's great. And then we stand and we cheer and we feel
that's the other thing. Oh, yeah. That's the other thing I didn't appreciate about this movie, I think, on like the first watch. But there are subtle ways, or maybe even not so subtle, but ways that each character is set up that they need the job that they have, where Judy has just gotten divorced and she was a homemaker, so she needs to enter the workforce now to support herself. And another like detail is layered into that, where he left her for his secretary.
Yeah.
And which is part of why like Judy is so dismissive of
Dora Lee
whenever right. she's trying to reach out and be friendly, because she still thinks about this affair that's happening. And I want to touch more on that
she's,
in just a moment.
Dare I say triggered?
Perhaps. So she needs to support herself. So she's entering the workforce. Lily Tomlin's character is a single mother of four. Mm-hmm. So she needs to support her family and herself. And then Dora Lee says, I need this job. So they're all putting up with this horrible
her
abuse.
Her husband, Dwayne, is just at home playing guitar.
He's like a musician, it seems. So, she's he's an artist, probably not making much money.
Their relationship, and you get like one scene where you see them together, and unfortunately the dialogue does not age very well.
Nope.
Because he's like,
smile more.
But the message of what he's saying, I like what I was impressed by from that scene, which was not smile for me, but is that he listened to her and he believed that she was being harassed, and he wasn't like, you're making this up, which I think again is like another easy thing that unfortunately happens all the time. So it was nice to be like, okay, so he is saying smile for me, but it seems like she was like happy in her marriage and like had a support system that you're just like, well, that's lovely.
Think that when she becomes a country western star, he's like her backup guitarist.
He's in her band.
Oh, yeah. In her band.
A star is born in Dolly, but like not because a man helps her be a star. It's because she became a star on her own. And
I'm laughing because we saw this movie together. And and you, Jamie and Anna, were both crying, and Caitlin and I are both sitting there like, what the fuck is this movie? Hey, you cursed.
I know I did. I'll put $3 in the swear jar.
Give it back.
I'll cry again.
Oh, I hate that movie.
Beautiful girl,
but yeah, so one of the things that happens...
Hey, I just want to go in there real quick. I just want to get in there
real quick. That was Bradley Cooper's actual dog. Okay, sorry.
That's like the bassest vocal fry ever. It's just all vocal fry.
Right.
Like, people complain about a women's vocal fry. Have you seen Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born? They're like Oscar nominated. Like, all right,
sure. Anywho, so one of the things that happens in this movie that sucks to see play out, but then it gets course corrected, like you said, Jamie, but the women in the office don't like Doralee because they think she's having an affair with the boss. But what's really happening is that she's being sexually harassed by her boss, and he's spreading rumors that they're sleeping together. So as soon as there's light shed on that, that's when Judy and Violet are like, oh, let's all be friends. You know, sorry we made assumptions about you. So we could be like, oh, man, it's like women hating women for, like, these petty reasons. But it's also, like, right, like, it's men pitting women against each other.
And them figuring it out.
Right, like, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was, like, a cool example of, like, commenting on that, too. Because, especially in, like, 1980, where it might not, I mean, even now, like, it doesn't always occur. I don't know, like, so now I feel like it's almost like an instinct. But in every case, like, when I was definitely younger and working in offices, and like male superiors, quote unquote, would try to pit women in the office against each other, I didn't always realize that that was what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so having like a movie point that out directly and then have them figure it out, get mad and retaliate, you're like, oh, this is like almost a blueprint for like what.
And
what,
like you said earlier, it was really cool that like Lily Tomlin's character instantly believed Dolly Parton's character.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, this man is lying on your name. Well, fuck him. Owe you $3. And also, let's lasso him.
And it also makes total like sense, unfortunately, that Doralee hadn't tried to discuss it with any of the women in the office before, because she's like, well, you know, it'll just make my reputation worse. It'll look like I'm coming, you know, and she kind of has that conversation with her husband, Dwayne, of like, I don't know really what's going on, but everyone hates me and I can't talk to anyone about it. Like, there's no place, I mean, you know, you can't imagine that HR at this company or most companies would be very helpful to her. Mm-hmm. And so it just, it felt like in a very like heightened movie, it was like a very realistic situation.
Yeah.
And then so much of that, like what I feel like we talked about a lot of the same themes in The First Wives Club, which is clearly, you know, like taking a page from 9 to 5, of like so much of this movie that's so much fun is just the catharsis of like, you know, women in the workplace still have it so rough. And again, it's like we are seeing upper middle class white women.
Yeah.
And they have it rough. And so all the untold stories of people from lower income backgrounds, of different races, sexualities, etc.
Right.
But then you get to see them take this like spectacular revenge that no one in real life really can.
Right.
And it feels amazing.
It is empowering.
Shoot someone's dick off.
I want to turn a rooster into a hen.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just tried to do an accent. I really apologize for that, everyone. It was tragically bad.
But yeah, I mean, just to piggyback off that conversation a little bit, this is a very like white feminism movie. The characters that are featured in this, like the empowered women, are all middle class white women, conventionally attractive. You know, that whole thing.
Thin.
Yeah. There are a few people of color in the office, but they almost never get to talk. They only
talk about the white woman's predicament.
Right. Yeah, they're not really allowed to contribute anything to the story. We do see a black guy very early on who works in the mailroom, and he comments on how he's never able to get promoted out of the mailroom because they keep bringing in outside people. That may have been deliberate commentary on, like, you know, white people tend to get favored for promotions or jobs over people color. But it's like just that's one thing, and it doesn't get any further explored than that.
Yeah, that's the only time you even see him.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. And that actor, His name is Ray Vitt, and 2 years after this movie came out, he was murdered by the LAPD.
Oh my God.
So,
yeah, and then we have, there's a black woman in the office named Betty.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a scene with Lily Tomlin, but they're only talking about Lily Tomlin, and Betty is kind of just reassuring her. And this is the scene where Violet is accidentally putting rat poison in the coffee.
Right.
So, yeah, it's like they're all very much there as supporting characters and kind of background.
There's another character. I think her name is Maria Delgado, who gets fired. She's the one who gets fired for discussing her salary. But I believe she gets rehired then whenever Hart leaves. Yes. And then they're like, come back and like work part time if you want to.
Yeah.
But yeah. Other than that, there is really no mind paid to people of color in this film. And it's all about, you know, the attractive white women and their struggle.
Predicaments. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So while this is like a feminist text, it is not intersectional.
No.
But it does, you know, pave the way for more intersectional feminist texts to be made later on. And we are still waiting for some of them. But,
where are they?
Yes.
Someone please fund them.
And with that, let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back.
Sophie touched on this earlier, but I do think it bears repeating how remarkable it is that there is not any romantic subplots in this movie that at least that take up any
minus
insignificant
the
space
thing at the end.
Okay, yeah. So
let's talk about it. Yeah.
Well, I think I want to backtrack a little bit and talk about Judy's relationship with her ex-husband Dick, because he is
tracksuit Dick.
Oh, the worst. Brown tracksuit.
I know. It was like, what a choice.
The worst color is Anyway, he keeps showing up.
He's stalking her.
He's like, yeah, I've been casing the joint, because they're all staying at Hart's house, like, to like monitor him.
He's so creepy.
And then this dude Dick is like, hey, I think I might want to get back together, like, let's hang out. And she's like, no, you can't be here, like, I'm house sitting, like, please leave. And he's like, but I've been casing the joint, you're here alone, right?
I've been stalking you for days.
Yeah. It's crazy how casually he delivers those lines. He's like, yeah, of course I've been spying on you. Shut up. You're like, sir?
And you're like, excuse me, sir, that's a crime.
That's And like, that doesn't get challenged at all, but I mean, I don't know if like Judy was like, well, we used to be married, so, you know, he
guess he can just harass me until I die.
I think it just shows, like, in, like, for a second there, you think she's going to, like, she was like, yeah, let's have lunch. And you think that
I was really worried that they would, like, get back together or something.
I think they're just trying to show how inexperienced she is and, like, naive.
Oh, just, yeah, like, just to show lack that. Of
but
that, street smarts.
But what I like about it is that, like, very quickly after she shows that, she finds her strength again.
Yes.
And then at the end, she you know, cusses him out, screams him out. She's like, I'd never get back with you in a million years. Yeah. Like,
hit the road,
I'm
buster.
Doing M&Ms.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, and she's, you know, it's very over the top, but it's a good, like, it's a good moment for that character. And especially where that's, I feel like that doesn't, First Wives Club kind of fucks that up too.
Yeah, because they get the back together. Bette Midler character gets back with her husband.
Right. So this one, I mean, like, if that had to be there, which is like didn't have to, and then there were other ways to characterize her.
Right.
But at least it's like well played with the way it concludes.
Right. Yeah, he's basically introduced as an obstacle for her to, like, be like, go away, you're, like, ruining this, you know, we've kidnapped our boss and you're messing this up for us.
Yeah, you're really messing up our plot, our operation tracksuit.
Right. And then the way the story concludes, the whole movie concludes, is they've gotten rid of Hart. The three of them are like, woohoo, we run this company now. Mm-hmm. And then there are, like, title cards of what happened to everyone. First, we see Violet. She gets promoted to, like, vice president.
She essentially gets Hart's job, no?
Yeah, because she's, like, so good at keeping her cool under pressure.
All you have to do is poison someone, and you'll finally get that promotion right. You've been waiting for.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just a hot tip.
Yeah. Then we see Judy's title card, and it says that she falls in love with and gets married to the Xerox representative, which is like a callback to, like, the whole Xerox mishap thing, when it's like, right. Oh, but now she loves Xerox so much that she's fucking the Xerox man.
Like, not my favorite joke.
Don't like it. Didn't need to be there. And then we get, you know, Dolly becomes, she quits the company and becomes a country and western singer, and we're like, woohoo. Correct. And then there's another problematic one where, Hart's title card is he was abducted by a tribe of Amazonians in Brazil, which, you know, perpetuates the negative stereotype that indigenous people are savages.
Yeah,
so that's not good, but
nope, at all.
I do like, though, that there's no romantic subplot, because there's kind of no room for it and no need for it in this story.
Yeah, right. It's a fucking revenge fantasy.
Yeah.
And I feel like, again, that's like, would that have been possible if there weren't mostly women and queer people in the room? I would guess not.
Probably no. It's a big fat guess, no.
I would guess a not.
There is one passage I wanted to bring up.
Oh, please.
Sure. So right after they have kidnapped him and they're realizing that they can't just, like, keep him, then when they decide what they want to do, they goes, Violet, what could we use to keep Hart quiet? Judy, blackmail? Violet, blackmail. Oh, that's great. But what could we get him on? Judy, a sex scandal. Take a picture of him with a prostitute.
Yeah.
Dorley. Oh, yes. No, who'd care? Violet, she's right. Hart would simply buy up all the copies and distribute them as Christmas cards.
Yes, so this is shaming of sex work.
Yeah, shaming of sex work, not cool. Mm-hmm.
Tasteless. Rich white lady joke.
Yes. Right. It's like, yeah. Let's hire a prostitute and exploit her in order to get, it's like, ew.
To get back
at your
boss.
Who cares?
Yeah, that's, you know, very that. 1980s.
Yeah, very of its time.
Very, like, white feminism privilege bullshit.
Yeah.
We don't love it.
We don't love it.
I wanted to share some quick quotes about, just again, just like going back into, like, the writing process for this movie, because it's very interesting to me, where Jane Fonda, I mean, she has, like, a pretty storied history of fighting for workers' rights. She's from a very privileged background, and so a lot of times when she would try to make these stories about not extremely rich people, she would have to do research on them, which, I mean, what a trial. But but she's like talked a lot about the process of like figuring out how to play these characters. And she like spoke to a lot of women who worked as secretaries. Mm-hmm. And she had the following to say. And she said she also specifically focused on women who had begun working later in life due to either being divorced or being widowed, which mm-hmm. I think was a lot more common in the 80s than it is now. Mm-hmm. But she said, quote, "What I found was that secretaries know the work they do is important, is skilled, but they also know they're not treated with respect. They call themselves office wives. They have to put gas in the boss's car, get his coffee, buy the presents for his wife and mistress. So when we came to do the film, we said to Colin Higgins, the director, mm-hmm. okay, what you have to do is write a screenplay which shows you can run an office without a boss, but you can't run an office without the secretaries." Unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
And that's, I think this is my favorite part of the movie, when they've kidnapped Hart, tied him up in like S&M gear in his house, using also like
kinky. The garage
door opener that we see Lily Tomlin install earlier in the movie.
Because she fixed it on her own.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
while having a serious conversation with her son.
About pot.
About pot and about how she gets mistreated at work and yeah.
And yeah, she's like, I'm a mother of four and I just installed my own garage door opener and he's still calling me his girl. Mm-hmm. We're like, woo. So they've kidnapped the boss. They've tied him up. He's, you know, wearing a collar, stuff like that.
Right.
And they realize that no one ever actually wants to see the boss face to face at work. So, like, except for Roz, who is a traitor. Yes. but they're like having a pretty easy time of like him not being there. So they use this opportunity to implement all these changes.
Radical.
Like, yeah. And I almost wanted to see a little bit more of it. Like, you get paid maternity leave and like,
right.
you and know, like,
keep going.
Health insurance for everybody. Free.
Medicare for all. Free 2020.
Daycare. Split work time. Flexible mm-hmm. hours. Yeah. It's like, that wasn't the stat that they increased productivity by 20%?
20%.
In like
right.
6 weeks. It's like,
what? Yeah, it's very impressive. So awesome to see that you can tell like the morale around the office is much higher. What kind of stinks about this is that they do all this stuff and then the chairman of the board comes in, thinks that Hart was responsible for all these changes. No one corrects him, because if they did, they'd have to be like, yeah, we did it because we had kidnapped our boss. Right. but he still gets like the credit and the promotion for these positive changes and this increase of efficiency. And
by Colonel Sanders.
The women, right, by Colonel Sanders, and the women don't get any recognition. Is it realistic? Yeah. But it, yeah. you know, it just it kind of sucks to see that that's like sort of how that's how the movie ends, where they don't get any recognition still. That was a bit of a bummer, but yeah. it's also, like I said,
unfortunately hyper realistic.
Yeah.
Jamie, did you yeah. want to get into the song at all?
Oh, well, I just wanted to mention, I mean, just that even like the song 9 to 5 has some very subversive and cool lyrics that Ooh. Sometimes you miss because you're like, it's such a slapper. But she clearly is like writing about what actually happens in the movie. That she references, they just use your mind and they never give you credit, referencing when Lily Tomlin's idea is taken. You would think that I would deserve a fat promotion, want to move ahead, but the boss won't seem to let me. It's just really good. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say, is just like it's pointing out specific yeah. lines that reference the movie mm-hmm. and that are just like, there's not a lot of working women's empowerment. This is still like the working woman's empowerment mm-hmm. anthem.
Yeah. It's so. My ringtone.
Oh, she's
Wait, Sophie. Angel. Is it your ringtone?
It's my ringtone.
It really is. You just really, it's my.
It's really fun to hear it go off in front of people and see their faces, especially men.
And then a quick note on the reception of this movie. Yes. It is now regarded as a classic. It has been, and for the most part, it got like generally positive reviews when it came out. However, because in 1980, even more so than now, the movie criticism community was really only old white guys. Mm-hmm. Even people who reviewed the movie well would still diss it for the parts that they just didn't understand themselves. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you got your boy, Roger Ebert, who, well, he did give the film 3 out of 4 stars, which is a lot for mm-hmm. him.
Yeah.
He doesn't usually like to see women, and so this is a thrill for us. but the way he talks about it is very condescending. He says, quote, "It was pleasant entertainment, and I liked it, despite its uneven qualities and a plot that's almost too preposterous." You're like, Gene Siskel had like similar stuff. Variety said, quote, "Although it can probably be argued that Patricia Resnick and Colin Higgins' script borders on the inane, the bottom line is it's fun," where like basically you don't get a lot of critical praise for the story. You mostly just get like, wow, Dolly Parton's a movie star, which is true.
Which is still like, most of the articles about this movie is like, wow, yeah, this was a star is born.
But even now there was like some fucking editorial like flame war like mm-hmm. in 2017 because
I think I saw this.
Yeah, where 9 to 5 was like being screened by the BFI, British Film Institute, and was just like called in the description like a feminist classic. And then someone at The Guardian wrote this long editorial, man, obviously, being like, is it really a feminist text?
Yeah, and I read that.
And then it turned, and you're like, that was 2 years ago. You know, it's just like, you can't. I'm like, dude, we've like moved on from 9 to 5 mentality, but it is a feminist text, you dumb.
I mean, this movie made into a TV series, made into a musical version of the film, mm-hmm. and you know, it's like,
it's influential.
And I mean, Guardian guy, who's the author of that?
I don't know. I don't
even cares.
Sorry, his name screw in my him. Mouth. Yeah,
the fact that this movie was such a commercial success just goes to show like how starved people are for representation, for like female-led comedy movies or female-led projects in general. Like, and another thing I always appreciate is a funny movie starring women. I love to see women be funny. Lily Tomlin especially is like cracking jokes. She's, you know, yeah, I tore right through your memo, and it's a double entendre. It's hilarious.
I know where to stick it. Love that line.
And then she's like, well, I'm a doctor, why am I talking to you, piss off. And it does pass the Bechdel test, but she's screaming at a woman to piss off,
you know.
It's so funny. She's so funny. It's great. And Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin are both over 40 when they're filming this movie.
Yeah.
You don't get to see women in their 40s really very much at all in cinema.
And again, similar to, I think like a lot of the strengths and weaknesses of 9 to 5 are kind of identical to the ones in First Wives Club.
Yes.
Where you're like, well, women over 40 do want to see themselves reflected in movies. Uh-huh. And not just white women too, but you know, again, where's the fucking movie?
Where is it?
But this movie, you know, it moved the dial. It kept things like it.
Yeah, it opened up a conversation about sexism, and I just love how like it's about like women coming together who like share a common motivation and a common interest in taking down this shitty sexist boss that they have, mm-hmm. and like uniting for this like progressive cause and like getting shit done.
It just makes me love so to see happy. It does. Yeah. It's a feel good.
There's an article on Saturday Living that's like 11 things Dolly Parton taught us in 9 to 5, and I think they're all really kind of cool. It's like, trust other women, confront mm-hmm. your problems head on, always stand up for yourself. Sometimes you just need to drink with your friends. Turnabout is fair play, at least in fantasies. Stand by your friends, always have your friends' back. Sometimes you need to call your friends on their mistakes, commit to your plans with your friends.
A lot of friendship stuff. Mm-hmm.
Be honest with your friends. Follow your dreams. It's like these are all. It's like, yeah. I mean, you just don't see stuff like that in movies, especially in 1980.
Right.
Yeah.
And even sadly, today.
Woohoo!
Well,
do you guys have anything else? I think that was all the main points that I had.
I really, and this is coming from someone who has a panic attack every time they smoke weed, but I just, like, Lily Tomlin, like, talking to her, like, teenage son, being like, yeah, I don't really care if you smoke weed, slip it in my purse. Like, yeah. I feel like a lot of, like, mother characters from that era would have been like, marijuana is the devil. And she's just like, fuck it, I'm gonna smoke
a one joint, mom.
Yeah, and she, like, oh, they just have so much fun together. I love that scene where they're the just, like, laughing. Hair. Yes.
Especially if you, like, are Grace and Frankie head, you're like, damn, Lily Tomlin is weed mom.
Weed mom.
Fully weed mom.
Oh, gosh.
It's a good time movie.
It is. It's a romp.
If you haven't seen it, you gotta see it.
Must. Does it pass the Bechdel test?
Yeah.
Many a time.
So many times.
Lots. They do talk about heart a lot, but there are many, many conversations between many combinations of characters.
And only because they're trying to kill him.
And only because, yeah. So, I don't even know that they're ever actually trying to kill him. Like, they don't want to be murderers. They just
want
to.
They just want him to get him out of there.
Yeah.
Here's $3.
I honestly, there was talks of a sequel to this movie, which I would prefer. To a reboot. I've really absolutely had it with the reboots. A sequel with the original cast would be amazing.
Yeah.
That ended up getting scrapped, but I'm like, ooh, they should do it, and then this time they should be trying to kill him.
Yeah.
They're like, they should
take it to the next level.
Yeah, let's go full horror camp and just do it.
Yes. Well, I read this piece that was like, the reason why they aren't doing the reboot is because the content would be too similar because things haven't changed.
Right.
Oh.
And I was like,
so yeah. Depressing.
I've had, like, male bosses, like, pretty much word for word, the same things that Mr. Hart says to,
yeah,
like, Judy or Violet or
shout out to my
Dorley.
old boss for making me cry over paper towels.
Fuck
you.
Him.
Shout out to my boss from 2 weeks ago.
Should have put some sweet and love.
Year?
La 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 la.
Okay.
Don't worry, he would never give me $5. So he'll never hear this.
Let's rate the movie on our nipple scale.
Kind of been waiting for this day.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Okay, I would give this a 4.25. I'm going to take off 3/4 of a nipple because it is a movie that largely ignores people of color in general, and there's, you know, just a couple of those, like, regressive jokes about sex work and tribe of people in the Amazon, you know, stuff like that, but it just feels so ahead of its time, and it holds up for the most part pretty well. You know, it's a fun movie. It's I love to see women triumphing over their, like, sexist oppressors, just a few of the era things that it gets a little wrong.
Yeah.
Could be more inclusive, could be more intersectional. Mm-hmm. But for 1980,
4.5 is
pretty
good.
Yeah. So, and I'll give one to each of the gals, Lily, Jane, and Dolly. I'll give one nipple to the woman who's struggling with alcoholism, who gets rehabilitation.
Drunk feminist icon Margaret.
Yes. And I will give my quarter nipple to scam goddess Hart's wife.
Missy.
I liked Missy. I'm a Missy stan.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she divorced him.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll go 4.25 as well. I mean, kind of for all the same reasons where it's like, for 1980, this is like radical,
yeah,
and but also mainstream, which is like such a cool,
yeah,
space,
yeah,
to occupy in like movie history. It is too white. It only acknowledges middle class people. And there is space in that movie for that to not be the case, which we see because there's like little moments and little like tastes of like, oh, let's explore that. What is going, mm-hmm, on with the guy in the mailroom? What's going on with the women of color in your office? And they're there, but they're not allowed to take up space in the narrative,
right?
Which is very of its time, and unfortunately still of our time a lot of the time. And so, like, there was space for that. I wish that more space had, you know, cut a minute out of each revenge fantasy and let Betty have a storyline.
Yeah.
But for its of the time weaknesses, it still is like everything that they're talking about is still relevant, and unfortunately, like, not a lot of progress has been maid. So that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it 4.25 nipples. give all three of the gals one. I think Alfred Molina.
Who could wouldn't he have played?
Well, anyone. But I think in this one, he was like, you know what? I'm just a fan. I'm just
he could have been Colonel Sanders.
He might have been too young to be Colonel Sanders. But he's a chameleon. He would have been like 30 when this movie came. No, not even. Young. He'd be like 25. He's very young.
he could have been Dwayne.
He could
like a less problematic Dwayne.
Wait, which one's been Dwayne?
Dorley's husband. Dorley's
Okay, sure. Let's go with that because I would love to see him kiss Dolly Parton.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
They are horny for each other too. So
yeah, they were an active couple.
They were kissing.
I was like, oh, they're about to. Good for them. They're married. They still do that. Good for them.
Yeah.
but yeah, Alfred Molina should have been Dwayne. So I'll give, you know, my fourth nipple to Alfred Molina and the last quarter. Or no, I'll give my fourth nipple to Betty and then give the quarter to Alfred Molina.
Smart.
Just cause.
Yeah.
Sophie.
Wow.
Well, it's your time to shine.
Okay. I'm going to go with a 4.25 out of unison. and I'm going to give one to Lily, one to Dolly, one to Jane. And then I'm going to give one to, I want to know the actress's name who played Margaret because she made me extremely happy. Elizabeth Wilson. No, that's Roz.
That's Roz.
Roz is getting the quarter nip. Spoiler. the actress who played Margaret, Peggy Pope.
Okay.
Shout out Peggy Pope. You get a whole nip. And then Elizabeth Wilson, who played Roz, for wanting to learn another language and bettering herself, gets a quarter nip, even though she was deeply annoying.
She was a every office traitor has a Roz. Was just too obsessed with the male boss, but she now knows French. So.
Yeah, I was like, you know, she was like,
to us all.
She was like, oh, you want me to better myself? Bonjour, and you know what? Quarter nip for you, Roz.
Okay, sure.
But, yeah,
we hope she grew with time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Sophie.
Whoa,
you did it.
You did it. That was amazing.
Woo! Thanks for being here. And thanks for being our producer.
Aww.
And everything. We know. Everything that you've done.
Thanks for being my friend.
Of course.
Where can we follow you and your dog Anderson online?
So I only have Instagram. I don't have Twitter.
That's for the best.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's Sophie_Ray_of_sunshine. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. It's present day Jamie and Caitlin back again with the outro to the episode. by the way, Sophie has since gotten a Twitter account, so you can follow her. Because at the time of this recording, she had an Instagram.
And her Twitter account, she has quite a few followers.
She's got a big following, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to add to that, you can follow her on Twitter at YSophieY. There's underscores on either side of Sophie. So Y_Sophie_Y. Y being WHY and not the letter Y. Wow.
Listening? Are you listening?
Yeah. Are you taking notes? so anyway, that was our Unlocked Patreon/Matreon episode on 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. If you want to listen to more Matreon episodes, because most of them we keep locked up, okay?
Yes.
So the only way to access those is by going to patreon.com/Bechdelcast and subscribing. It's $5 a month. You get access to 2 bonus episodes every single month, plus the entire back catalog. And there are somewhere around like 80, 90 episodes there.
Something
currently.
Like that. Yeah, there's quite a few. So if you've run out of main feed episodes, that is the place to go. Patreon.com/Bechdelcast. Also, remember to listen to ACCast. The first episode is out now, and you can listen to ACCast on Mondays all the way through the summer. It's a summer podcast.
Yay. Is it spelled AACK?
It's spelled AACKcast by Jamie Loftus. You can also just search my name and it will come up because it is spelled in a confusing way. Might doom the show. We don't know.
In any case, everyone, please check out ACCast.
Please.
And happy July.
Happy, you know, enjoy your summer safely.
Yes, please.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.